And a pleasant good evening to you. Rich Hurl here with you, filling in for Michael Cohen here on this Thursday evening on the 1320 WYLS Capital City Recap. Great to have you with us here after a very wet Thursday, and the showers are going to be continuing through tonight and even into tomorrow as well. So get used to it if you haven't already, as we are in the spring season. That, and in another case, that is good news. We're going to begin the program tonight with a look at Lansing City government. Got a lot going on these days. Typically we do, but especially this week, we've got Mayor Virge Bernero delivering his budget proposal at the start of the week. And we also have a big meeting upcoming, a special meeting Monday night on the Welcoming City resolution. A lot of talks about whether Lansing should be designated sanctuary city. Doesn't look like they're going that route, but we'll dive into that a little bit as well. And also some another open seat on the city council as well. So we've got some positions in addition to the mayor's position as well, that will be open heading into election time. I'm going to touch on all those issues right now with our first guest, Tim Damon. He is the CEO of the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce, and he joins us now on the other end of our line. Good evening, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rich. How about yourself?
Doing very well. So we wanted to get your take on the mayor, on Mayor Bernero's budget proposal released Monday night, and I guess really the one item that everyone's talking about is this proposed neighborhood streets and sidewalks millage, and just wanted to get your take on that particular part of the budget based on what you've heard so far.
Yeah, well, you know, we certainly don't disagree that investment in infrastructure, our roads, bridges, sidewalks are critical. In fact, Rich, we just released some polling data a week ago that it indicated that 60% of the city residents identified infrastructure as the top issue going into the mayoral election this fall. So I think the question, though, that we didn't ask, I think the question that needs to be asked of the citizens, are they willing to pay a higher tax rate than what they're paying right now, and for dollars going towards that infrastructure investment? So I guess, you know, kind of where we are at this point in time is we would certainly not be supportive or favor another millage put on the taxpayers of the city of Lansing. We would like to maybe kind of know from a reprioritization where are the current dollars going and what's currently being allocated to our roads and sidewalk infrastructure.
Now, you yourself, maybe not through polling formally, but is that kind of the vibe that you're hearing as you're going out, as you've been going out in the city this week talking to people? Do they kind of have that same mindset that, yeah, we need to fix the roads, but we need to go in a different direction? Is that what you're hearing?
I think that's what we continue to hear. I think, you know, we know what happened at the state legislature a couple years ago. And, you know, I think the time has come and gone to continue to blame the state legislature on this. I think we need to look at and find opportunities and locally how we do this. The city of Lansing currently has a millage. It was a public safety millage that was, I think, originally passed, I want to believe, in 2011 or 2012. I know it was recently renewed here, that has a roads component to that. And I guess the question that I would ask, or we have asked and we don't know the answer to, is it how much money is actually being raised now through that millage, and where and how is that money being spent from a prioritization, you know, standpoint? What road repairs have been have been taken on as a result of that roads millage?
Yeah, exactly. Now you mentioned earlier that as far as polling goes, the poll that you recently conducted, that there was no question about, you know, how we should go about paying for the roads. Do you plan on any polling in the future kind of addressing that part of the issue, or do you already have a good idea of what the public feels about it?
Well, I think we have a pretty good idea with what the public feels about it, but we certainly have plans to be back in the field and doing some additional polling here later this spring and summer leading up to the elections. And that's certainly a question that we would want to ask and kind of get a better idea on too. So, I mean, you know, the city, the tax burden now in the city is very high, and when we're dealing with the unfunded liabilities that we have. This is why we continue to say that that is probably the number one issue and priority that should be addressed, is that getting your arms around and being able to control a little bit more of this retiree health care, which I think is somewhere now around $400 million and is, you know, costing anywhere up to close to $20 million annually in the city budget to fund the retiree health care portion. So now you start doing the math, and for the residents to understand why it's so important, is that that's $20 million that's coming out of the budget that's not being allocated to other areas, priority areas, such as the roads, such as public safety, such as our parks, such as our neighborhoods. And so that's why we continue to believe, and the business community continues to believe, that the unfunded liabilities is by far and away the number one issue facing the city of Lansing today.
Are we moving too slow in trying to fill that debt in the unfunded liabilities? You mentioned it was $400 million. When this was first kind of brought to the forefront a couple years ago, it was $600 million. What about the progress? Do we need to move a little faster than we are right now?
It's critical, and I don't think we're moving fast enough. And the total unfunded liabilities is over $600 million. It's $400 million with the retiree health care and $200 million with the pensions. And so, some of these numbers, Richard, I think are being rounded. It could be, and I believe it is slightly probably above the $600 million total. But I think that we are moving slow. And in fairness, not being just critical of the city of Lansing, I mean, there are other municipalities, not only in our region, but across the state and across the country, that are faced with the same, you know, with the same issues. And hey, the irony of this is that I had just reviewed a report, actually. It was from 1999 by the Anderson Economic Group, and so we're 18 years ago, but in that report, they specifically identified these types of issues that the city needed to address. And so it's not anything that's happened and snuck up on us here in the last, 2 to 3 or 5 years. I mean, this is something I think that's been going back now close to 20 years, if not more. That we've been, you know, seeing this slowly kind of creep into and become somewhat of a financial crisis.
Any idea why we're not moving fast enough?
You know what, I think there's probably a lot of reasons. I think there's the lack of the revenue sharing coming from the state. I think that the local municipalities, local communities have been hit pretty hard over the last, 10, 15 years on that. The property value, the Great Recession in 2008 to 2011 just really depressed a lot of urban areas. And so I think that those are some of the things. I think budgets have been, constrained. And so I think it's a combination of, probably multiple things and not just one specific, issue. And let's face it, at the end of the day, Rich, these are tough decisions. And I don't think anybody is saying that we need to specifically take away from retirees things that were promised to them. And so these are tough decisions and impacting and affecting, a lot of people and people's lives and their well-being.
We're talking with Tim Damon, CEO of the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce. Tim, as we mentioned in the preamble earlier, another hot item in Lansing right now. It may not be number one on the chamber's radar, but that is the Welcoming City Resolution, a special meeting set for Monday night. And I know, Tim, talking with you off air, that there are some concerns from the chamber in regards to the funding aspect of this particular issue, the threat of a loss of federal funding if Lansing were to designate itself a sanctuary city. Yesterday, we did have Judy Brown Clark, city council member, mayoral candidate, on the 1320 WILS Morning Wake Up with Dave Ackerley, and she talked about where the council stood on that resolution leading into Monday night's meeting. Take a listen.
We have to be fiscally responsible, and we have to be responsible to our community members. And I think what we've done with the language is we've been as strong as possible and as fiscally responsible as possible. And I think it's been equated to that we're looking at money versus humans. It's like, no. We're looking at both. We don't have the luxury of looking at one. We have the responsibility of looking at both. And so with the language of the resolution that we're passing on Monday, we have set it in a way in which we're law-abiding and we're fiscally responsible and we're embracing our community members and we're doing the best we can to be as comprehensive as possible.
And Tim, when you consider the economic factor of this resolution and trying to keep those federal dollars, what's your take on what we could see in this resolution based on what Judy Brown Clark just said?
Well, I think it's probably being very careful in the language that you know, that they choose in the resolution. I think probably staying away from the sanctuary city, you know, terminology, and that, you know, potentially, you know, jeopardizing the federal funding, which I believe would be upwards of around $6 million. And so, and again, I think that it's important to understand that I think everybody looks at this and says, you know, are we a welcoming, and we want to be a welcoming city and a welcoming region, and without question of that. And I think that, you know, with Michigan State University and the diversity and just the global presence that we have with that, and the fact of what that means for our community. So I think that's very, very important. But, you know, again, I think as, you know, Councilwoman Brown Clark, you know, just alluded to there, is, you know, really kind of being very careful in the actual language and what that turns out to be.
And Tim, before we let you go, I know the chamber is still has not made a decision yet as far as the election goes, you know, who to support for mayor, who to support for the city council. But I did kind of want to get your take on some of these developments that we've had with the seats that have become open, with Mayor Bernero saying he's not going to seek another term. You got Judy Brown Clark, as I mentioned earlier, she's running for mayor, so she has to give up her city council seat. And just yesterday, the latest, Jessica Yorko announcing that she will not be seeking another term due to health reasons. You know, just based on relationships that the chamber has with the mayor and with the city council, what's kind of the initial mindset in knowing that we will have new office holders one way or another coming up less than a year from now?
Yeah, well, you know, certainly, I think, as everybody says, sometimes, you know, change can be good, and I think at the same time, change can be a little unnerving. And, you know, I think that's kind of where we are now. We're certainly going to have, we know we're going to have a new, you know, CEO. We're going to have a new mayor in the city, become January of 2018, and at least two new council members. And so, you know, we're keeping a close eye on what's happening. We will be very active in working with and supporting candidates for, you know, both the mayoral race as well as city council. I do think that with council, you know, member Yorko's announcement yesterday, that elevates that that fourth ward. I think it really elevates that into a very, you know, high priority seat for, you know, for us and others to take a look at. So it'll be a very interesting race. There are a lot of good people that are, you know, that have filed right now, and we're still waiting on the two other incumbents, and Tina Houghton and Kathy Dunbar, and would anticipate that they would be filing for a re-election here soon.
Tim Damon, CEO of the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce, talking about a wide variety of issues going on right now in Lansing City government. Tim, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Rich, you're welcome. Thank you.
And you are listening to the 1320 WILS Capital City Recap. Rich Hurl here with you, filling in for Michael Cohen for this first half hour of the program. Don't go away. There's more to come. Keep it right here on more compelling Talk Radio 1320 WILS.